Good morning again. Good to see everybody here today. Before we get into it, a couple of housekeeping things. We are in week three of a series we're doing on Joseph and the whole belief as we go through life. Well, it's not a belief, it's a fact. As we go through life, sometimes things just smack us out of nowhere, right? The things that get us down and bum us out the most is things that we're not prepared for or we're not expecting to happen to us. So we're talking about that. And so next Sunday I'll be gone. I'm going to be on my last trip of the year. There's only so much I-40 you can see, folks, and it all runs together. And so Kathy's going to be bringing us week four of our sermon series next week, and then I'll be back to finish it up. And then guess what? Advent will be here. I know that's crazy, but it will. And so I wrote a little thing about it, and I'm going to send it out. But for some reason, I'm always excited for Advent, but it sneaks up on you, right? But I'm really excited this year, maybe because last year we really didn't get to have it, right? I mean, one of the things that I love doing, one of my favorite things as a pastor is Christmas Eve communion, and we didn't get to have it. We were in the spike. So we have already been preparing for this Advent. And this Advent, we are going to decorate the sanctuary, and we are going to take the theme of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and we're going to bring Jesus into it and bring us into it, and I think it's going to be a really cool time. And so just kind of prepare ourselves for that, and then we are going to have communion on Christmas Eve. And so just excited about that journey and where we're going. And I've heard some people, they're like, we're putting our tree up already because we didn't get to celebrate Christmas last year. It's like, well, okay, slow down a little bit, but understand the excitement. So that's kind of what we're going, and we're excited about it. So let's have a prayer. God, we are blessed to be here. We're blessed to have a green chair to sit in. And however we showed up, whether we showed up excited and joyful, or maybe we showed up and we're just like beat up, we know that you are here. And so just make us aware of your presence around us. And as we read scriptures and stories that are old and ancient, let they become alive and relevant and speak to us new things this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you that you love us. And as we explore how to navigate this world that has ups and downs and bumps and hills and valleys, there is one thing that is constant, and that is you. So help that truth to resonate with us this morning as well. In the resurrected name of Jesus, we all said, amen. So if you have a Bible, we're going to start in Genesis. There was a song. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. There's a song that says, start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Now, if you're here with us first time, this is week three of a series we're doing on Joseph. Last week, something happened to Joseph. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. So anytime you're like, man, I can't stand that sibling of mine, Joseph sold him to slavery, okay? Or, you know, my siblings are just so mean to me. Joseph sold him into slavery. And sold him to these people, and they go to Egypt, and they sell him to the Potiphar who worked for Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was the top dog in Egypt. So the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a very successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had been made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house in Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was all on the hand, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now, if we remember last time, Joseph, we talked about how he faced one of the most difficult things that any of us can be faced with. Joseph is betrayed by people he loves and trusts. There's nothing as painful as someone you love and trust betraying you. And so if you can imagine, we've all been there, what does that sort of situation do to one? Does it boost and inflate your ego? Or does it deflate and make you less than? And we talked about last week how the betraying of others can sometimes speak words over us. And we can, and those words can define us. Oh, you're no good. You're not worthy. Nobody likes you. And so we find Joseph in this spot where he's in betrayal. He goes into slavery. And what starts to happen to Joseph in Egypt? He starts to come out of it, right? It's like, I had this bad thing, but now good things are happening. I'm finding favor. God is blessing, right? You ever have one of those things where it's like you get in a valley and a bad thing, but then eventually what happens? Okay, we're getting over this. We're getting through this. Things are going to get better. But, there's always that, right? Joseph was handsome and good looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to the master's wife, look with me here. My master has no concern about anything in the house and has put me everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater than the house than I am, nor has he kept anything back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment and said, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left the garment in her hand and fled outside, she called out to the members of her household and said, see, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out in a loud voice, ooh, pants on fire. And when he heard me raise his voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Then she kept his garment by her until the master came. And she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came to me to insult me. But as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside. When his master heard these words that his wife spoke, this is the way your servant treated me, he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners that were in the prison and whatever he had done, and he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Poor Joseph. All right? Just when he gets over this betrayal, he gets on his feet, he's got people that trust him, this woman, she lies about him. And he gets thrown back in prison. Isn't that such of life? Things seem to be going well. And have you ever had it where the rug was just pulled out from underneath you? Anybody? It's like things are going so smooth. Last week we talked about the betrayal of others. Well, this isn't the betrayal of others. This is simply someone who I don't trust who comes in and lies and manipulates, and I pay the price over something that I did not do. Anybody ever told a lie about you? Anybody? Nobody? Just me? Okay, Chris, yeah. I didn't know I wouldn't. Yeah. No, yeah. Anybody? Have you ever, you know, that job promotion I'm going to get where somebody goes and they sneak in there and they tell a story about me and, ooh, pull the rug just out from underneath me. We call it, you get the slips, it slipped up. People are manipulative. People, we can't control what they say. We can't control the gossip. We can't control what people have said about us that leads us into situation. Or maybe if it's not even people, it's situations. Man, financially, we are getting on our feet. Financially, we're doing better, and you get that bill in the mail. What? Where did this come from? Or physically, I had an illness, and I'm getting better, and I go to the doctor, and guess what? It's come back. Right? Life is full of the slips where the rug is pulled out from underneath us. And here we see Joseph, who's doing nothing wrong. It's actually Joseph's what? Doing everything right. He said, no, I'm not going to do this thing. I'm not going to sin against God. And it gets him where? Put in prison. There is an old saying, sometimes nice guys finish last. And we want to say, but that's not fair. That's not fair, God. Why do we allow that to happen? And why do we allow this to happen? What do we do when we experience the slips in life and the rugs are pulled out from underneath us? How? I mean, we're doing everything we can correct. We're doing everything we can to the best of our ability. And still, it seems that we take one step forward and then three steps back. Life isn't fair. People manipulate. People cheat. People gossip. People turn their back on us. People will do anything to get ahead, and it means putting us down. Then people will do it, and that stinks because nobody will believe what? My side of the story. That's not fair. In the early church, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, he left it with them. And things didn't start off all that well. There was a man in the early church named Stephen. You heard of Stephen? He was a preacher. He was executed for being a Christian. A man named Saul, who later converted to Paul, was the chief person who was in charge of putting himself in a position to annihilate these followers of Jesus. Wanted to exterminate all of them. So early on in the early church, things weren't going as planned. You'd even have to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Because the odds of me getting killed, the odds of me being betrayed, the odds of people pulling the rug out from underneath me is going to happen. But things start to turn around. This man named Saul becomes Paul. And he ends his persecution of these people. Why? Because he's one of them now. And other people do too. So there's this time in early Christianity where there's a brief reprieve and the church starts growing. It says that their number is added thousands daily. They start growing. They start flourishing. They start taking care of each other. Things are finally going good. They're led by a man named Peter. You heard of Peter? Yeah, he worked with Jesus. Peter was leading this group. And then in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, says about that time, things are going good. Things are being better. Things are improving. We're getting out of this rut. King Herod, who was not the King Herod in Jesus, this is his son. King Herod laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. And he saw that it pleased the Jews. So he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Well, if killing this guy, James, is going to make him happy, I'm going to go who? I'm going to go after the big fish. And so this was during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to the four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. So things are going good. Things are going great. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Boom. Kill one of your own. Peter's thrown in prison. Now what happens is very extraordinary, because Peter actually escapes from prison. If you haven't read about that part of the story, I'm going to spoil it for you. He escapes from prison. And after he escapes, Peter disappears. Nowhere in the book of Acts does Peter reappear again. Now, if somebody was going to try to get you killed, you would too. And so we don't know. There's about 9 years where Peter disappears, and then he ends up and he's executed in Rome. So Peter faces a situation where he's up, he's preaching, he's teaching two people. He's getting followers. This movement is growing. People are learning about Jesus. People are taking care of each other. And then a moment where a king pulls the rug out from underneath him, pulls it out from under the church, and they begin persecuting the church. Peter faces this. Peter has seen his friend James die. Peter has been in prison. Peter, you would say this, has had the rug pulled out from underneath him. And the only thing we know about Peter, in between the time he was arrested and escaped to the time he died, is he wrote a couple of letters from wherever he was staying. Very interesting. He wrote some letters to some church people. And I want to read part of the letter that he reads. And oddly enough, the name of the letter is called 1 Peter. There's a 2 Peter as well. And here's what he says in his opening. Now, granted, this is a Peter that's been arrested. A Peter who's been persecuted. Peter's been threatened for death. He's writing to people who are experiencing what? The same thing. The same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Whenever something happens or doesn't happen to me that I deserve, I become frustrated because I didn't get what I deserved. Right? Part of the time when the rug is pulled out from underneath us, it's because we were wanting something, we felt like we worked for something, we felt like we deserved something, and we did not get it. That's what frustrates us. If you're at work, and you work hard, and you work hard, and you work hard, and a promotion comes available, and this sucker comes in the back door and lies about you and gets it, why are you upset? Because they got something that you deserved. We become frustrated at others. We become frustrated at the situation because things don't go the way we think that they're supposed to go. We don't get what we deserve. We don't get what we want. We don't get what we need. And what Peter says, oh, I understand that, because I was one who was arrested. I was one who the rug was pulled out from underneath me. And I want to tell you right off the bat, by His great mercy, He has given us all we need. He has given us a new birth and a living hope. So you're sitting here getting frustrated because you want this and you want that, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus has already given you everything you need. He's given you a new birth and a new hope. And when you go out there and think, I need this and I need this, I need this, you are wanting something that is far less than what you already have. Yeah, the rug's going to be pulled out from underneath us. Yeah, we're going to get the slips. Yeah, people are going to frustrate us. Yeah, people are going to say, but what I'm here to tell you is that our hope is tethered in one thing and one thing only, and that is new life, new hope, resurrection. Peter's like, I used to be you. I used to let things slip me up and frustrate me. Yeah. When we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, I got frustrated. I cut off a dude's ear. Yeah, it got to me. Because I didn't realize that what Jesus was talking about is the resurrection. And when I finally saw it, I'm like, oh, that's what always wins out. And I'm here to tell you, when we tether our lives to resurrection, that whatever valley you're going through, whatever stump you fall into, whatever hits you, whatever rug is pulled out from under, you are tethered to resurrection and know that it will change and God will win. What's the one constant thing in the Joseph story? How many times do they have to let you know that God was with Joseph? God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. And the good news of this church and this early church, what made them is, oh, yeah, you can pull the rug out from under us all day long, but we are grounded in resurrection, which always wins. And here's why this is so important. Now I'm finally getting to the point I want to make. Here's why this is so important. So when Peter wrote this letter, nobody knew who he was. But at the end of the letter, he uses coded language. Don't you like coded language? He uses coded language and says something really important. At the very end, 1 Peter chapter 5, during final greetings and benediction, through Silvanus, whom I consider a faithful brother, I have written this short letter to encourage you. So Peter didn't write the letter. He dictated it, and this dude wrote the letter down. To testify that this is the true grace of God. I'm writing this to let you know that what I'm saying is true, and it's based in the grace of God. Stand in it. Your sister church in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends your greetings, and so does my son Mark. Your sister church in Babylon. Now, there is a history in the Jewish history of a place called Babylon. The Old Testament, they're in exile in Babylon. Babylon is seen as this evil empire, this evil place, this very oppressive place. But here's the thing. When Peter's writing his letter, Babylon's done. Babylon, the great empire, is dust. What is he talking about? Whenever you read the New Testament, especially the book of Revelation, and it refers to the Babylon, Rome is the new Babylon. So you see, Peter can't just come out and say, Rome are these evil people, because if they find the letter, who they find it with, they're going to... But no. So Peter's saying, your sister church, me, I'm still here. I'm in the empire. I'm still going. I'm still moving. I'm still following God. You can't give me the slips. You can't pull the rug out from underneath me, because I'm standing firm in the truth of grace in the resurrection. Because of that, no rug will be pulled out to me that's going to get me totally down. And here's why that is so important. Because not only do people give us the slips, not only do people pull the rug out from underneath us, situations do. I know people who, they get the slips from politics. Their party don't win, it gets them slips and it frustrates them and it's just upset and it just tears them up. Okay? That's cool. I know some people, sports. Yeah, some of you putting your head down now. Your team don't win and they cheat, it gives you the slips. Pulls the rug out right out from underneath you. Runs your day. Ooh. Yeah. I've got some situations in my life going on now that are giving me the slips. It is threatening my joy and my happiness and my way of life. And if I let it, guess what? It's going to succeed. But if I remind myself that God is with me, I am tethered to the only important thing that I need, resurrection, new hope, new life, grounded in faith, right now, in this moment, nothing will give me the slips. Nothing. Because the danger in that happening is this. There are people, raise your hand if you profess to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay. All right. So we're all in the same boat here. And what that means is this. We are all tethered to that resurrection. And what that also means is this too. There are people that will look at us and roll their eyes. Those people are crazy. They actually believe in this old ancient rabbi that rose from the dead. How silly is that? They will. But may they never look at us and say, look how they treat each other. May they never say, look, they're giving each other the slips. May they never look at us and say, oh my goodness, they follow this guy that's supposed to love and they don't do it because they're talking about each other. They're worried about what other people think. They're pulling the rug out from beneath each other. They can't get along despite their differences. They can't love each other despite the different perspectives and views. May they never say that about us, because when we do, we're giving them the slips. And we're not being the portraying example of Jesus Christ that we have called to portray, because we have received it. And we are tethered to resurrection and new hope and new life, grounded in that. And that is a blessing that we don't keep to ourselves, that we share to others. And that's how people will know we are Jesus' followers, by the amount of love we share one for another. By the amount of love we share one for another. The world gives the slips. But we're not grounded in the world. Jesus said, I've conquered that. You remember that? I conquered that and rose again. And that is, as Paul says, you're baptized in that. And it's the resurrection in which we live from. So, I want to end by saying this. Perhaps many of you sitting here today are like, man, that person, you got that person in your mind? Who is that? Ooh, that person, they did me wrong. That person, ooh, every time I hear their name, somehow they gave you the slips. They're controlling you. They're controlling you. Or maybe that situation, every time I turn on the TV, that just makes me, turn it off, they're controlling you. Because those people do not control you. You are a child of God who believes in resurrection, who believes in new life, new hope, grounded in grace. So this morning, the way that we need to hear God say, let that go, that will take care of itself, and I am still sitting on the throne, nobody's kicking me off. People are trying, guys. That's why I guess people are like, you know what? You know, God's just going to, no, God's not going anywhere. No matter what anybody does, I'm sorry. No matter what decisions anybody makes, God is not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I've already fought that battle and I've won. Now, you can be a part of it and you can enter into it and live from it that is non-anxious and non-frustrating. You can live a life where Peter's like, oh, you want to try to kill me? Well, guess what? I'm good because I'm grounded in this. I'm grounded in this. So how do we prepare for when people pull out the rug from underneath us? We practice resurrection, that we are. This is not going to define us and consume us, and things will get better. Because Jesus always wins. He always has. He always has. And you, me, that is the inheritance that we have right now at this moment. Resurrection, James, bless his heart, died by the sword. He experienced resurrection. And today, we can too. Resurrection is a living thing. Available. In what ways do we need to let something die so we can live? Again, let's pray. God, many times we let people, the words they speak about us, the way that they've pulled the rug out from underneath us, the way in which the world works, that way consumes us. Remind us this morning that your way is the way we're attached to. And your way of love, and your way of grace, and your way of mercy, and your way of forgiving us, and asking us to do the same to each other, because we do not want those people to control us, because what it do, it prevents us from seeing loving ways in which we have been loved and we can love others. So Jesus came, and he said, you want to live life that's full? He said, I've come to bring you life and bring you life abundantly, and it's a present thing. And so we listen to his teachings. We learn to love the ways that he loved, forgive the ways that we forgive. And when we learn to forgive others, we realize we're letting ourselves off the hook. And when we love others, we learn that we're loving you. So God, forgive us where we've reached for vengeance when others have done us wrong. Forgive us. We can't forgive ourselves. And help us to attach ourselves to your resurrection and new life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is not going to betray me. He's the only one that's going to be there when everybody else leaves. And so I think Peter says, I'm going to roll with this guy. The story of Joseph is there is one constant thing. God was with. So there's nowhere you can go that God's not going to be there. Even in the ups and the downs and the slips and the wherever, God is with you then. So know that God has blessed you already. God has given to you already. Your sins, your past is over, forgiven, and forgotten, and your future is wide open. How cool is that? So go out loving others as God has loved you and forgiving them as he's forgiven you. Amen.